Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
Good afternoon, everybody. It is the Steve Jones Show on a Wednesday. Matt Catrillo here with you. Steve is also in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, all sorts of pre-owned inventory, great service department and sales staff. They can get it done no matter how big the issue is with your vehicle, and also those inspections too, making sure you get those done and on time and back on the road. And that's all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Steve's going to join us in a sec as he gets ready to fly down to Tampa for Saturday's Outback Bowl, which will be right here on WKOK, Penn State in Arkansas, a noon kickoff, 10:30 pregame show right here on WKOK. But before we get back to that and the rest of the news that's been happening this week, do want to acknowledge the passing of NFL legend John Madden yesterday at the age of 85. It was announced yesterday he died unexpectedly, and of course the sports world has been pouring in with the reaction since it dropped early evening yesterday. And I simply put it this way, John Madden was football. And you can look at all the many different people that have put the NFL, that have been the reason why the NFL has been put on the map the way it is, the popularity of the NFL now the way it is. And you look at some of other figures that have affected and brought other sports to life, of the other major sports. But when you look at someone like John Madden, nobody has put a sport on the map the way he did than him. In every facet. I mean, of course, as a broadcaster, that's where it really started to take off because of his style, and everyone loves the way he broke down the telestrator and the turkey and the turducken and all those jokes and just his overall enthusiasm for the game, the boom and all that good stuff. But it was also as a coach, too. He was a really successful coach with the Raiders. Of course, won a Super Bowl. And then, of course, there's the video game, which most generation will know him for, and probably won't know him as well as a coach, and maybe not even as a broadcaster, because he last retired in after Super Bowl 43, which was after the 06 season, I believe, and that's when he was in the Hall of Fame. He got inducted into the Hall of Fame. But no one has been so influential in the popularity of a sport than John Madden, and he will be greatly missed as he passed away yesterday at the age of 85. But coming up with Steve, as we get set for the Outback Bowl, Brian Tripp coming up next, Reginald Walker in half hour, Neil Coulong on the Steelers, shellacking from the Chiefs in the 4 o'clock hour, and then Glenn Macnow from the Eagles Radio Network, he joined us yesterday. We're going to replay that interview at 4:35 in case you missed that. Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com, on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Joining me now to talk about the legendary career of Russ Rose, who retired last week, is Brian Tripp. Tripper, always great to have you with us, bud.
You couldn't be more right on the Kurt Dowdy thing, by the way, and I'll just leave it at that.
Yes. That's why I always tell everybody. Bowl 2 weeks and championship week, right?
Mm-hmm.
For college basketball.
Yep.
Unfortunately, showcases the lack of depth. All right, so okay, it's like all right.
Oh, 1,330 wins, hundreds and hundreds of graduates, all Americans, Olympic gold medalists, Olympians, 43 years. Russ Rose today retires. As I said, like essentially he and I,
My junior year was his first year as the head coach. So it's like we've been here the same time frame. All right. What was your thought when you saw this become official?
Well, I'm happy for him because he's had a legendary career and no one's deserved it more. And no one's done as much, not only for this sport, but for student athletes, I think is what Russ has done during his career. It's just, I'm thrilled for him. I'm sad for Penn State fans and for the volleyball community that you don't get to see him sit there and flip his pen and write in his notebook anymore. But I'm glad you started with that because I thought we'd be remiss if we didn't mention it first. And he's just had such an impact on so many people. And what the sport, if you look what their team has done through the years, their accomplishments, I think elevating not only the level of play in the Big Ten, but the facilities. Volleyball rates so well on the Big Ten network that they've carved out.
Yep.
A Wednesday and Friday night and Sunday afternoon time slots for the sport on Big Ten Network and ESPN. And all of that, a lot of that credit has to go to Russ Rose and his programs at Penn State elevating the league.
No question.
It's not just having an incredible amount of success on the court and probably records. I mean, 111 straight sets. That's no one's ever gonna do that again.
I remember like it was yesterday. Look, to me, I don't care whether it's two of us sitting at a table or him coming over to me after a practice or after a match or whatever. Those times or in his office.
Yep.
Right? Sitting down in his office and just talking are some of the more enjoyable times I've ever had here at Penn State because it's just frank, direct, no filter conversation.
I think the world of this guy. He's unbelievable, and he's so knowledgeable. And he could coach, Steve, he could coach football, ice hockey, basketball, volleyball, and he'd be successful at whatever it is.
No question.
That's the type of person and coach and leader he is. And he's so, he's an avid reader. He is so knowledgeable about the entire sports landscape, really anything, any topic across the world. He'll have an opinion on it and share it with you, I'm sure. But it's just so enjoyable to converse with him and get his thoughts because you know it comes from such an honest place, but also a very well-educated place on whatever that topic may be. And he's so loyal. Man, he just has so many qualities that he's impacted people with, but he's also shared those qualities with and has helped shape people over the years. Whether it's a player, look at his coaching tree, but even just the administrators, staff, anyone he's worked with or touched and teaching a class, teaching a class for a long time. He's taught a class his entire career at Penn State.
Yep.
As I had it as a student, it's one of the best classes I had. Right up there with sports broadcasting.
Ooh, what clown taught that? He is one of those individuals, and I felt this way about, when I talked to Joe, when I talked to James, when I talked to Russ, when I talked to Kale, all right? When the conversation is over, I feel better informed. Right, I feel like I've got a better depth of opinion and elements maybe either I had thought of and has happened to be confirmed or maybe I hadn't thought of when I talk to people like that because they're the best at what they do and they have an ability to think of things that maybe a lot of people have not thought about. And that's I say that about James. I say that about Kale. Joe was a fountain of that. Russ was, for me, has always been a fountain of that.
And I think the one thing, and it's along those same lines, is no matter what the situation is, there are always two or three steps ahead. Okay, if this happens, how do I handle it? And already have a plan in place as to how to handle what A, B, C, D, E, whatever door opens, they're already prepared for whatever situation may occur. And no one would outwork Russ Rose.
No.
5 a.m. wake-up call and box scores from every match across the country, film, video. his preparation and even down to the last year here in 2021, it's still a lot of handwritten notes and printed out papers. It's not all on an iPad or a computer, and he'd carry a big notebook around, but no one would outwork Russ Rose. And I think that's something he instilled in the players. And you look, whether it's the long preseason camps or how they prepare for matches through film or through hard work and practice, you always knew you were going to get a team that was mentally tough, mentally and physically prepared, and that was never going to quit. Being at the practices over the years, working with them, the drills they did, yep, he instilled in them, you never quit and you battle, and that is a big reason why. They've had great players, but it's that mentality that's made them really successful.
He's had, it's the word culture.
Yeah.
But, you know, for 43 years, it's been, hey, guess what? And you, I remember when we did a feature on Russ for the football TV show. And I had to interview, I don't know, 8 different former players from different eras. And I'm talking about great players, all Americans, Olympians, the whole deal, right? Gold medalists, right? Yeah. Were they coached? Were they coached hard? Yep. Do they appreciate the man more than ever? Absolutely. That tells you everything.
Yep. When Micah Hancock and Haley Washington were back this fall after winning gold with Team USA this summer,
yep,
we did a short sit down with them and I talked to them. And one of the questions, obviously, is how would you describe your relationship with Coach Rose? And they said, you know, he's tough, that you have to earn his respect. But once you go through it, you understand that everything he puts you through comes from the right place because he knows how to get people to achieve their maximum and reach their maximum potential. And they said he's the man. There's no other way to describe him than being the man or the GOAT. And he truly is. That's a word that gets thrown around all.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
He really is.
Yes. 1,330 wins, 7 national titles, a boatload of Big Ten titles, Atlantic Ten titles. Yeah. That's when you can legitimately say it.
Yeah. Like we said in the beginning, though, it's what he's done for the sport, elevating the sport, the culture, what he's done for the university, but besides the wins, it's what he's done for the sport that I think really stands out to me.
Oh, absolutely. No, he's taken a sport that was always fighting for some level of recognition and then turned it into, holy mackerel, now when you watch the Final Four take place, it's mm-hmm. must viewing.
Because and why are there teams like a Pitt, Wisconsin, Nebraska obviously has had a great program for a long time, but why are they there? A lot of that's because of what Penn State was able to build in the late 90s, early 2000s, and obviously that great run with the 4 straight titles.
What's interesting, I'm glad you brought that up, because I've always said the Big Ten elevated everybody across the board and made them really take football far more seriously than they were when Penn State came in and went, we better do something here. Now notice, like, suddenly, Northwestern has some good runs. Wisconsin has some good runs. You know, you can go through the long list of them. All right. Russ Rose did the same thing for the Big Ten in women's volleyball. They got in there, and everybody said, oh, my goodness, we better up our game. Right? Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, and it took them a long time to really get to the same level. But all of them felt like the Big Ten's the toughest conference in the country because he set the tone for the whole thing and made them get it to that level. If they weren't, they were going to get buried.
Yep. And it's not just in terms of on court. If you go to Nebraska, they have a 10,000 seat facility. If you go to Purdue, they've got a new all these places have new facilities because that's all a part of the arms race to try to catch up to a Penn State. So it's worked in so many different ways to benefit student athletes, not just at Penn State, but across the whole conference. Right. And obviously the TV component too.
And by the way, being coached in a tough way and understanding it, that's what allows you that when it's match point against Argentina, you've got the fortitude to compete match point the right way because you've been coached tough.
Yeah, right? And Micah Hancock, when she came to Penn State, she was a tough cookie already. One of my favorite athletes to watch.
Yep.
But she did not start. She was not the starting setter this year. But when she had to come in a match to advance them and come off the bench,
yep.
Why was she mentally tough and ready for that experience? Probably because what she went through at Penn State.
No question. No question. And you can go back with Glass and Hodge, and I mean, the long list of them, Terry Zamaitis, everybody. Kachiamani. I mean, just one after him, Bonnie Bremner. A long list of just great, great players. And man, let's never forget the Atlantic 10 era either. He had a lot of great players during the Atlantic 10 era where he was fighting to play. People did not want to play Penn State. They did not want to play Penn State. I mean, Russ was very much in the Atlantic 10, like Florida State was in the early days of Bobby Bowden. All right, we'll go out and play you. And then they'd walk in there and they'd beat him. That's the way Russ was. All right, he says, all right, you won't come here? Fine, we'll go there. All right, so had that kind of attitude. It's phenomenal.
Well, I appreciate you starting with that. I want to make sure I got my thoughts out there.
No, I started with it. Unfortunately, we're going to have to end it. He took up the entire segment on it, as a matter of fact. Dress with golf shirts down in Tampa, okay?
I will.
I just looked at the advanced forecast. Looks good.
Yeah, I think 80s are going to be pretty nice.
Yeah.
Especially when the wind chill's down. Well, I'm in the home of Jahan Dotson today, Nazareth, Pennsylvania, and it's around 25 with that wind chill.
Wow.
Yeah.
And there's trees growing in the racetrack.
It's not a good sign.
It's not good.
Yeah. But Mario's is decorated for the holidays, I'll say that.
I'm not surprised. I doubt he did it himself.
No.
He made Marco do it. All right, so.
have a very Merry Christmas and a happy holiday, and we'll see you down there. Have a safe trip.
Hey, to you and that beautiful family of yours, you have a great family. You really
Thanks.
Do.
You too, All the kids and grandkids and Cassie.
Yeah.
And my thoughts go out to everyone at the radio station, too, this week, Steve.
Yeah, we appreciate that. It means a lot to us.
Same. See you soon.
Brian Tripp on the legendary Russ Rose. Great to have you with us today. Brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 Hummels Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. Reginald Walker next half hour, then Neil Kulong on the Steelers' demise. We'll talk about that at 4:06 with him today as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, welcome back. Reginald Walker in a few moments. Neil Kulong and the demise of the Steelers in the next half hour. And it is a demise. That was a terrible game they played on Sunday. Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummels Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. Ford Kia Hyundai, the best in new inventory. Great pre-owned inventory. It is all a sales staff that works really hard with you, really hard to take care of business. They want to make sure that you get the best deal. Your trading's never been worth more. Because, look, how do you get so much repeat business? Great products, a sales staff that actually works with you, right? And a service department that's great. Takes care of the life of the vehicle. Inspections, they're great at. Routine maintenance, great at. Tough stuff, great at. It's a great service department. It's all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummels Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. So Carson Wentz is in COVID protocol, not vaccinated. Not vaccinated. So he is on the list. They are getting close, by the way, the NFL and the Players Association, to adopting the new CDC and prevention guidelines that would reduce the quarantine time to 5 days from 10. Now, the NBA's gone to 6. I think they're going to cut down to 5 as well.
And that would include unvaccinated players. An agreement, by the way, could be done by today. It's unclear, though, if Wentz tested positive for the virus, he could be a close contact. If he did test positive, he'd be able to play Sunday against the Raiders as long as the positive test took place Monday and he's asymptomatic under the new guidelines that they're adopted. Under the current protocols, he would definitely miss Sunday's game. But with the new ones coming out today, it looks like he might not miss it. He did not shed any light on why he remains unvaccinated. He missed some time before the start of the regular season. The issue was not him, is that he was a close contact to someone who tested positive in the Colts organization. I'm not going to go into depth why, but I will say it's a personal decision for me and my family, he said in early September. I respect everybody else's decisions. So say he doesn't go. Well, rookie Sam Ehlinger would be the guy that would go from the practice squad along with Brett Hundley. Ehlinger missed the start of the season because of a knee injury, but is okay now. Interesting. So we'll see what happens with that. Next, the Jacksonville Jaguars have said that they're going to interview a couple of guys right out of the gate. They're going to interview my old friend Jim Caldwell. You remember when our kids were young, my son Mike and his son out at Lamont Elementary playing T-ball. And Jim and I would just sit together and just talk and talk and talk during the course of the T-ball games. So it doesn't take much to be a big fan of Jim Caldwell. He's being interviewed by the Jags, as is Doug Peterson being interviewed by the Jags as well. So they're getting that part underway. The Eagles are separating their quarterbacks, Jalen Hurts, Gardner Minshew, and Reed Sinnott. They're in separate rooms at the NovaCare complex because of the surge in coronavirus cases across the country. He says, we're going to make some adjustments. I'm not there 100%, but I don't have to be quite yet with the players not being back yet. But we're going to definitely make more adjustments. Quarterbacks will be in separate rooms. We're going to be even more safe with them being in separate rooms, according to Nick Sirianni. So that's what they're doing. So they're going along with that route. Donovan Smith, Chris Godwin, Kyle Carter were all at Penn State's practice yesterday, full practice today. Jack and I will be at the walkthrough tomorrow, and then I'll be at the practice on Friday. And Bruce Arians, by the way, speaking of Tampa, in isolation, said he tested positive on Tuesday. He's isolating at home, says he's okay, he has mild symptoms, mostly just a cough. So Harold Goodwin is handling Arians' duties on an interim basis. And it's not like Arians doesn't have has not had problems. He has multiple health issues in his career: prostate cancer, skin cancer, renal cell carcinoma. I mean, so you know he's had some comorbidities along the way. All right, let's get into football now with our mystic from the South, our good friend Reginald Waka. Waka. Let's take you back to your career. Say things really worked out great here and you had a fabulous career where you were, you know, a 3,500-yard, 4,000-yard guy, whatever it may be, and a bowl game came up and it wasn't a college football playoff game. Would you have opted out?
Personally, I think with what I know now, I probably would.
Yeah.
What I knew then, no. And the reason why I say that is because back then, all you knew was to either to play and get the insurance policy in the process, right? The first one we really kind of saw
right.
or heard about was Willis McGahee in 01 or 02 after he tore his knee up against Ohio State.
Yes, yep, yep.
That was kind of the first one that was public. Now, us as players, sort of on the inside of it, we knew of those things going on and how those policies kind of work based on draft projections and those types of things and position information. But all we knew was play and get the insurance policy.
Yeah,
and you're fine.
Right, because the insurance policy thing probably predated you by about 20 years.
Yep.
It probably predated you by 20 years. So now let's take this one step further. A year ago on this show, and this is months before they brought it out, I said maybe I ought to go to a 12-team playoff. Now I think maybe I ought to go to a 16-team playoff, and here's my reasoning behind that. Two reasons. One, nobody's going to opt out. And number two, you need to keep yourself academically eligible.
Right. That's a great point, because you mentioned the academically eligible thing. The guy that kind of changed that around, if you go all the way back, right, into the late 80s, early 90s, people forget, Deion Sanders took all incompletes and played in Florida State's bowl game.
Yep.
That was his way around it.
Yep.
And so you're absolutely right. The eligibility piece, especially with APRs and how that works now as well, would certainly be a factor, not only for the kids, but also for the coaches in those programs saying, hey, we got to watch our APR score, because there's a lot of things tied to that. Not necessarily forgetting the fact that if you're a 6-6 football team, or you lose a game somehow in the year and you're a 5-6 football team, if your APR is near the top, you're bowl eligible, which means coaches get bonuses, you get another opportunity, 15 more practices with your players, all of those types of things, and it probably will save some jobs as well.
Yeah, because I'm looking at it as, number one, no player has ever opted out of a playoff game, right? So that's one. Number two, to play in the playoff game, you have to be academically eligible to do it. In other words, you just can't sit there and go, hey, look, I blew off classes the last, 6 weeks, whatever, because, look, I'm going to the draft, blah, 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 blah. You and I have heard all that song and dance forever. Well, now you're looking around, you got your teammates looking at you and say, what do you mean you're not eligible? What's wrong with you?
Right.
I think that's why. Now, how many teams do you think should be in it?
I think they can do eight, and I think they can do eight easily. What you do, and this gives you the wiggle room, right? I think, obviously, the championship weekend stays where it is, right?
Yep.
So let's just say, for the sake of argument, December 4th, right, this year. And then 2 weeks later, you play the first round of the playoffs at top four seed home sites, December 18th-ish,
yep.
Right? So you've given that Heisman week, all the awards, all that stuff, that time is off. And then the players are essentially home for Christmas, right? If they want to go home for a couple days, and then they're back, they go to the semifinals, neutral site, New Year's Eve time frame-ish. And then I prefer New Year's Day personally, but that's just me.
Right.
And then you play the national championship 1 week later on January 8th. I don't think you keep moving it to the 15th at all. And I think if you do that, you're allowing those bye weeks to make sure everybody's as healthy as possible. And then I think you can finagle some things on the front end of the schedule. I think if you stay at 12 games, I think you start the season a week earlier to allow for a second bye, just in case, or you eliminate one non-conference game so we stop getting some of these games that don't matter to us. And you tell everybody, obviously you need to play one sort of like-minded opponent, right? So if you're a Big Ten team, you need to play an SEC team or a Big 12 team or something to that effect. And then if you want to play a bye game, you can play a bye game. And now, with the 9 games left, you can play a conference slate.
I think you make an interesting point, several interesting points there. But one of them is that I like is that if you want to build the playoff, okay, I like the idea of a second bye week for everybody. So it's a little more spread out, but I think it's important to give players, student-athletes, that extra week somewhere in the schedule.
Yeah, and what it does is it basically allows every coach or every athletic director, whoever's handling those schedules, and the conference to give you one kind of early and give you one kind of late.
Yeah.
In a perfect world, you can play one after week, get one after week four or your fourth game, and get one after your seventh game or eighth game,
right,
and then you finish out the regular season somewhere in that range.
Right, that's a good point. All right, so let's get to some of these games. Georgia. So I want to ask you about Stetson Bennett. It's interesting. I just talked about Keaton Slovis moments ago. And Slovis got his chance to play because JT Daniels got hurt. Okay, so Slovis plays, does well. Daniels looks around, says, oh, he's the victim, Pac-12 freshman of the year. I'm going to transfer out. He goes to Georgia. Then he gets hurt there. Stetson Bennett takes over. Blah, blah, blah. We know how it turned out. Then Daniels, of course, did a good job against Cincinnati in the Sugar Bowl last year. Is Bennett good enough? I mean, he's good enough for them to beat Tennessee, and he's good enough for them to beat Florida. But is he good enough on this stage?
I know they love his feet, and there's nothing wrong with that. He can run the football better, obviously, than JT Daniels. But the issue this team had early in the season, when you look at JT Daniels before he got hurt and then obviously right after, was a lot of the pass catchers were hurt. Now those guys are back. You got Pickens back. The tight ends are healthy. Now you need a guy that can spread it around and use all those weapons and force your defense to give away kind of what they're doing and allow him then to pick apart those teams. I don't think Stetson Bennett is as good at that. They obviously value Stetson Bennett's legs, but let's call it what it is. The teams that have beat, right, Michigan, which is Michigan State, they don't have a quote-unquote mobile quarterback. They have a guy who can read the defense, make the right throws, and work off of play action, which is where Georgia's at their best. Cook at that running back spot, Zamir White, who I saw play in high school, mm-hmm. That guy's unbelievable.
Yep.
But Cook as well, people forget, James Cook is the brother of Dalvin Cook.
Right.
So we know the pedigree of that family. That kid's a nightmare as well. I think you use those two running backs with JT Daniels to set up play action and allow him to take shots down the field, and you got a chance to win a national championship. You don't, then you're relying on Stetson Bennett to run around and make plays improvising. I just don't think that's the right formula against the Michigan defensive front that can chase him down just as well as they can get to JT Daniels in the backfield. But Daniels does a better job recognizing different blitz packages and getting the football out.
You know what struck me about Georgia when they played Alabama? And I want to see if you thought the same thing. Yeah, I watched Georgia play some games, including the Arkansas game, obviously. Against Alabama, they look slow.
They did. They didn't look like the faster, more athletic team.
No.
They also looked a little bit intimidated. They looked like they didn't expect to win the game. It's almost like they had heard about Alabama all year, and then I always use this analogy. Then it goes back to like the national championship game where Alabama played Notre Dame. And remember, Notre Dame's locker room was closer to the field. They were supposed to walk out first. And Nick Saban jumped the gun on purpose, and they walked by Notre Dame in the tunnel. And it's like Notre Dame had seen Alabama on tape and said, yeah, they're pretty fast. And then they walked past them and realized they were big and fast, and they went, whoa, that's not what we expected. It's almost like Georgia saw kind of the same thing, and in the second quarter, it just overwhelmed them, and that game was over.
And the guy that struck me was Davis, the big kid in the middle. Was he 360 pounds?
Yeah, big Jordan Davis.
Yeah, all of a sudden, and everybody's talked about him. And then I'm watching him in this game, and he's standing up, not moving. I'm thinking, that's not good. It's not good football.
No, I mean, his leverage was bad. The Alabama offensive line that we talk about all the time, and Steve, you know this, that the hardest thing to find now in recruiting
trenches is
people moving offensive linemen.
Yep.
Right? Alabama continues to find the four or five people movers in every recruiting class. That's what they have. And 360, 340, 380, it doesn't matter. They are able to move those guys off of the spot.
Yep.
And run the football, which sets up that passing game. I think it's going to be interesting, though, to watch them against Cincinnati because these are two teams that will spread it out and throw it around. I think this will be a more, quote-unquote, exciting game of the two. Don't know what the score is going to look like. It may be one-sided, but you're going to see two teams open it up versus the Georgia-Michigan game. I think you're going to see that game played in a phone booth, and that one's going to be – it's a good thing that one's the second semifinal because your New Year's Eve plans are safe because that game's going to be about 2.5 hours.
Yeah, that's exactly right. In fact, you may have overestimated. What I find interesting, you do things out of necessity. So why did Mouse Davis go to the run and shoot? He didn't have any tight ends. Right? So he went to the run and shoot. Okay? I'm like, wow, this is novel. He looked around and says, I did it out of necessity. I've always felt that the spread came into being because I've always felt that back then when they put it in, coaches were trying to work around their offensive line. And I think that's been the MO since.
Well, yeah, if you go back to the Mike Leach days at Texas Tech, that's the best example. And the reason why I say that is go back and look at the tape and look how wide those offensive linemen splits were. That
right.
was to force the defensive ends further out so they couldn't get to the quarterback as quickly. That's what that was about. That's what you see a lot of spread teams do. They stretch out the offensive line horizontally, and they make you have to come further to get to the quarterback. And then you add in things like bootlegs and waggles and sprint outs and rollouts, it makes it harder for defensive linemen to figure out where the quarterback's going to be.
Happy holidays, my good friend. Great to have you
Happy
with us.
Thank you, Steve. Always a pleasure. Happy holidays, and take care of yourself. Take care, everybody, and I love State College. I will leave it there.
Waka. I heard that a few times in the practice. Waka.
Oh, yeah.
You're the best. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Take care. Happy holidays.
Reginald Walker joining us on the show. Next half hour, by the way, Neil Coulong on the Steelers, who put together just an awful performance on Sunday at Arrowhead against the Chiefs. It was just phenomenally bad. And Neil and I will break down that phenomenally bad performance in the next half hour. Yikes. They've got Cleveland on Monday Night Football, by the way. And that's what they have coming up. More bowl games today. Again, I always go back to the point about bowl games. What's interesting about bowl games, people talk, too many. And we all know the Holiday Bowl was canceled last night. And it canceled the doggone thing. What about 4.5 hours before kickoff? Because UCLA didn't have enough defensive linemen because of COVID. And there are other reasons as well. But the Liberty Bowl, Birmingham Bowl, First Responder Bowl, Guaranteed Rate Bowl all went. So 18 of the 23 games have been played. And there's more on the schedule, obviously, for today. But they're doing great in the ratings. Of the 18 that have been played, 16 of the 18 have had 1 million viewers or more. I'm sorry. People are watching it, and they may poo-poo this and poo-poo that, but guess what? People, every year this comes up, and every year people watch because they don't really know who all the players. No, I was watching Louisville and Air Force the set yesterday afternoon. So I'm watching that yesterday afternoon. I'm like, I don't really know too much about either of these teams, just the basics. And I just watched because it was a game. All right, Neil Coulong next hour on the Steelers. They get ready for the Browns. We'll talk to him, brought to you by Sunbury Motors. On News Radio 1070 WKOK.